We're holding a hay on with Aleph, the fifth line. We started learning yesterday. Rav had said, here we're talking about menachas that are with avodah, zan shalo l'shma, where again the rule is that generally speaking, they're futter, they just don't count for the owner's obligation, with the exception, we said, of minchas choyte and minchas knois, that those, if they're shalo l'shma, then they're completely possible, just like we learned by animal korbanos, that the Pesach and the Chatos are in the same category. However, the Gemara had brought a statement of Rav that the same thing would apply to the Korban HaOmer, to the Minchas HaOmer, if it was done Shalo Deshmo, it would be possible, because the whole point of that Korban is supposed to be to allow us to eat Chodesh, and if it's brought Shalo Deshmo, then it's not accomplishing that purpose, and therefore, what good is it doing? And the Gemara had gone through a whole discussion about that, and Rav had said the same thing by certain Ashamos, the same thing would be the case. In the end, we slogged up Rav, and brought a Braisa, that said that no, those are shamos, the Hashem Mitzora that was shechted, Shalo Deshmo is in fact kosher, not like Rav had said, because it's only coming to be machshir him, and therefore if it doesn't accomplish that, then it's not doing anything. Clearly the Braisa says otherwise, and therefore we slogged up Rav, and including the part that he said about the Omer, so we don't know yet what the deal is as far as the Omer, if it was brought Shalo Deshmo. So now the Gemara is going to continue with two other opinions on the subject. Rosh Lakish over here, and then we're going to spend the rest of the Omer analyzing Rosh Lakish's opinion, and then on Omer Days, we're going to have another explanation, we're going to have another statement of Rava's on the subject. So, but Rosh Lakish Omer, so Rosh Lakish says, Min Chasa Omer Shekom to Shalo Deshma Kshera. When the Min Chasa Omer, when the Koimitzer was taken Shalo Deshma, then Rosh Lakish says, Kshera. It's kosher, not like Rav had said that it's possible. However, the koyanim will not be able to eat the shirayim, what's left over after the koyanim was taken. They won't be able to adjutovi minchas ha'omer acheres v'tativena until another minchas ha'omer is brought with the proper intentions, and then be matir it. Because after all, by definition, the omer is brought from newly harvested grain, so it's chodesh. They're not allowed to eat chodesh until after the omer is brought. So now they're going to have to harvest new barley and bring a new korban omer, and then the previous one retroactively will become, now it's not so, it won't become kosher per se, but it's still possible because of the shalom, it's kosher, but it's still not, no, so what it is, sorry, it's kosher, but you can't eat it yet because it's chodesh. So once you have another korban omer, fine, then that takes away the issue of chodesh, now you'll be able to eat it. You won't be able to eat the shirayim until another minchas ha'omer is brought. Basically the same thing, basically repeating the same thing, which is why it's in parenthesis, because as Zevach takes it out, it's basically another way of phrasing the same thing. Okay. So if you want to ask, in that case, if you're going to tell me you can't eat it, because if you're going to tell me that it's not yet, that chodesh is not yet mutter, then Nikra hate that, and therefore they have to wait to eat it until a new korban omer is brought. We have a general rule that korbanos have to be something which is edible by Jews. So they want to ask Nikra hechi korba. How then would you be able to bring the korban in the first place? Mimashke Yisrael, the pasuk in Yechezkel talks about the korbanos la'asid lavoi, but he reiterates many details about the korbanos, some of which we have in Chumash, and some of which are details that are part of Torah Shabbat Peh, but weren't written down until then. We're going to talk about later in On the Sechta. We're going to talk about at one point the Chachamim were concerned about the Pesukim in Yechezkel that seemed to contradict the Torah. And then Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorin worked hard to reconcile them and show how they all fit exactly with what the Torah says. Anyway, one of them is that the pasuk says that what's brought as korbanos has to mean mashke Yisrael, which literally means from what Jews drink, from which we learn mina mutter Yisrael. Korbanos has to be something which is mutter for Jews to eat. In context, they were talking about the Nesachim. So, for example, you wouldn't be able to bring Yain Nesach as a korban or any other wine that's also for a Jew to drink for whatever reason, just as Orlo or Kalaya Karen. And the same thing as far as all korbanos. On other days, we're going to talk about, for example, how we know that a Trefer is also to bring as a korban. So that being the case, when this Omer is being brought, it's not yet Mutter, again, because the Chodesh is not yet Mutter, because it was brought Shalor L'Shma. What are you telling me? The Koyanim are going to be able to eat the Shirayim, so you're telling me the Koyanim have to wait to eat the Shirayim until another one? Fine, but that means at the time that this one was brought, it turns out that it was also. So how can you bring it in a Korban when you can't bring something as a Korban that cannot be eaten by Jews? Okay, you could ask in general. Achronim ask in general when you bring the Miyuchas, the Chidushim and Miyuchas and Marashva points out. So then in that case, you could ask about any korban oimer. You can't eat it. It doesn't become mutter until after it's offered on the mizbeach. So how would you be able to take the kmitzah for it? From it in the first place, and so the answer is that there, you know, the heter are both happening basically at once when you're doing the avodah. That is the exact thing that makes it mutter, and therefore it should be fine. So they talk about that in that case, when you're doing the kmitzah, it does not yet have to be mimashki yisrael. It's enough that when you're burning it, it does. And fine, the same moment when you're burning it is the same moment when kodesh becomes mutter, and therefore it's mimashki yisrael. Anyway, but the question is, that's all good when you have a kosher to korban omer. But here, where you have this kosher one, which is only going to become mutter later on when another one is brought, then how are you able to bring this one in the first place? How is it not possible on those grounds? And the answer is, omer of Adab Abba, chasavar is shlokish, because your shlokish holds, ein mechusas man maboy bayoyim. When it's all going to be on the same day, it's not considered that it's mechusas man, that's still not the time yet. In other words, we know, as we learned in Zvachim, there are various cases in which korban can be mechusas man. It can be that it's physically not old enough yet. A korban has to be at least 8 days old. It can be that the owner is not ready to bring it yet, because, for example, he hasn't completed the earlier stages of his tara process yet. All that kind of thing is called mechusas man. Here, what you have is, in effect, the owner is mechusas man. Because again, until sometime later that day, an omer is going to be brought, and chodesh will be mutter. Fine, but that's all going to be boy by year. That's all going to be on the same day, because necessarily, if they're going to bring a new korban omer, it's going to have to be on that same day. The only day you can bring it is the 16th of Nisan. Therefore, the fact that it's that later today it's going to become mutter is good enough that even now we can consider it mimashke yisrael. To be sure, that won't make it that us regular Jews are allowed to eat chodesh, at least at this stage of the argument. We're not going to say, well, because it's boy bayoyim, therefore we can start eating chodesh from the morning. It doesn't work that way. But at least as far as this din, that it has to be mutter, it has to be mutter for Jews, and only then will it be mutter for the mizbeach. It has to at least be that it'll be mutter for Jews later that day, and that's good enough for the mizbeach now. So that's not a problem. So yes, we can bring this first omer that was brought shalo b'shma, and it's fine because later today it will be able to be eaten by Jews, and therefore even now before that happens, we can already call it mimashki yisrael. However, the Gemara says Mosiv Rav Ada Brei de Rav Yitzchak. Rav Ada Brei de Rav Yitzchak says then I have a contradiction on Rish Lakish's opinion in general. We learn in a braisa, yesh ba'oifas she'in b'menachas, there are certain features as far as bird korbanos that you don't find similar kinds of things with menachas. Now, birds and menachas do have this in common. They're both brought by poorer people, generally speaking. We learned at the end of Zvachim as well that the opinions that said that you can bring a mincha on a bama, a private mizbeach, those that opinion also holds that you can bring birds on such a mizbeach, and those who hold that you can't do one hold you can't do the other. So, we know there is a certain commonality between them, but the Braisa wants us to know that there are also important differences between them. Yesh v'menachas she'en ba'ofis, and vice versa, there are features as far as menachas that you don't find in birds. Yesh ba'ofis, what features do you find in bird korbanos? Sha'ofis boim b'nidvas shenayim. First of all, a bird can be brought by two of them pooling their money together to bring it. Same as animal korbanos. You can have two people can pitch in and use the money to buy a bird and offer it. As opposed to menachos nefesh ksiva. But when it comes to menachos, there the pasuk is a nefesh kisakriv when one person brings, and from that we learn later in the Masechta that a mincha cannot be brought by two people jointly. It has to be brought by every person. It can be brought only by one person individually. But all other things, Rashi brings from a Gemara, from that Gemara later in our Masechta, that since the pasuk refers to nidrei hem and nidvos some in the plural, then that means that multiple people can join together and bring an animal korban or even a bird korban. Another difference is that birds, mechusri kapara, zav v'zava yaledes amatzorah. All four kinds of mechusri kapara bring broods to be able to eat kodshim. A zav and a zava always bring broods, no matter how rich they are. A yoledes always brings one bird, and then if she's rich, she brings an animal with it, and if not, then both of them are birds. And a metzora, if he's poor, brings broods. So with every one of them, you have, so with every one of them, chosir kapara, you have some kind of brood that's brought, as opposed to, you don't have menachas, you have, by all of them, by the zov and the zava, you don't have it all, by the zov, the zava, and the yoledes, you don't have it all, actually, by the yoledes, if she's bringing an animal as her oila, then she brings nesachim with it, which includes flour, as usual for an oila. In the case of a metzora, especially his korbanos are always going to include one animal, an osham, and he's going to bring nesachim with it. So in two out of the four cases of mechusir kapara, there's flour involved, but in two, there's not. And in the case of the yoledes, not even always, because it depends whether she's bringing an animal as one of her two korbanos. So that's another thing that you find with birds that you don't find with menachos. Continues the Braita b'chutru miklali sodan b'kodesh. And another exception is that birds you have that a person is able to eat them even when they usually would have been also. Because here you have a bird is killed by melicha, as we learned in Zvachim. Normally that makes it nevela, and a person should not be allowed to eat it. Yet the Torah specifically says that the kohenim should eat a chatas oy. So you have an exception to the rule. You have an exception to the rule where you have something which, on the face of it, ought to be also to eat, and yet the Torah is telling the Kohenim, go ahead and eat it. As a matter of fact, this is also something, speaking of those seeming contradictions in Yechezkel, one of the expressions that Yechezkel uses in his psukim over there, is he says that the Kohenim is not allowed to eat Nevela or Trefa, and that was one of the other things that worried the Chachamim. What do you mean Kohenim are not allowed to? Does that imply that Yisraelim are allowed to? And the answer is that, and the answer is Fakir. What it means is Kohenim, they're allowed to eat a Chatas Ois, even though on the face of it it's Nevela. You might think they're able to eat other Nevelas as well, and therefore Yechezkel has to stress to us that that's not so. But not to say, obviously, that anybody else could eat Nevela. In any case, the point is that you see that with a bird, that exception is being made to the rule, and we're saying that you are able to eat it. Mashenkin, menachos, as opposed to when it comes to menachos, there's no such, all these things don't apply to menachos. Only one person, only an individual can bring a mincha. You can't bring it jointly. You don't have mechusir kapara, one or maybe two of the mechusir kapara bring a mincha, and there's no hutru mitali surin, because there's no isser that would have been on a mincha, which now is mutter, especially because it's a korban. On the other hand, continues the Braisa, the yeshma menachas, on the other hand, you have features of a mincha that a bird korban does not have. Sha menachas to'unis kli, first of all, a mincha requires a keli, as we're going to learn later on, in Or Masechta, you need to put the mincha in a kli shoreis and be mekadesh it in there, and the kohenim itself also has to go in a kli shoreis, as opposed to birds, there's no kelim at all. You do malika, the kohen does malika with his fingernail, and that's it. There's no keli in there, and then squirts or squeezes out the blood onto the mizbeach, and there's no keli involved at all. In fact, Tosfos points out that, wait a minute, that should be considered a kula, the fact that you don't need a keli. On the contrary, it should be considered a chumra by birds that the kohen has to do it himself. He can't use a keli such as a knife. And the answer is that what we mean is, in other words, that again, a mincha, you need to be in the kaddish at the kli shoreis, a bird you do not. So that's one thing. Or tnufa, certain kinds of menachas have to be waived. The minchas ha'omer and the minchas sota have to be waived. Bahagosha, they have to be touched to the corner of the mizbeach, which birds do not. The yeshnet kid betzibur kibayochid, the tzibur brings menachas just as much as an individual does, as opposed to there's no korban tzibur of birds. Mashenkin ba'ofis, none of these features apply to birds. Now, says Rav Abba Breid Rav Yitzchak, the im issa, if you're telling me, you're a shlokish, that the minchas ha'omer, if it was done shaloi l'shma, is kosher, but you can't eat it until another omer is brought, then we have another thing. The menachas nami mashkachas la dehotru mikal yisurim rakodesh. Then we would have exactly that. We would have an exception. There wouldn't just be a bird that's mutter where we would say normally it should be also because nevela, and especially the Torah is telling us it's mutter. You would have another case where something is on the face of it mutter, and yet the Torah is telling us especially that it's mutter. Umay niu minchas oimer. Namely the minchas oimer. All case. The shlokish's case. Where Right now, this Minchas HaOmer is possible. Right now, this Minchas HaOmer cannot be eaten because it was brought to Shalom Lishma and it hasn't been Matur Chodosh. And yet, the Torah is telling us, go ahead, according to the Shokosh, go ahead and be Matur there. So you see that. There's CDC also that they were making an exception to the rule. The answer is no, that's not a question. Once we've established that according to the Shlokish, we're saying that when it's all going to be on the same day, it's not considered Mechusas Man, that yes, it's still also to a head yet, but at that point, you know, the fact that it's going to be Mutter later that day, because another Omer will be brought, is good enough for it to be considered Mimashke Yisrael. Even now, well then, Lavi Surahu, then you don't have an Isser in the first place, so you're not going to say there's an Isser, but then we're making an exception and allowing it, like we're saying by the bird, where there's an Isser to eat Nevela, but the Torah is especially giving the Kohenim an exemption from it and telling them to eat it. Here, we can say there's not really an Isser at all. There is we can already consider it as though the other one was already offered. And therefore, we're not saying that there's an Isser that has to be overridden. We can consider it to that extent as though there's no Isser as though there never was an Isser in the first place. Okay, so no question for that Bryce on Rishlokish. However, most of Rosh Hashanah says, I have another contradiction against Rishlokish. We talk about the Metzora. A Metzora, again, brings three korbanos. If he's rich, then all three of them are animals. If he's poor, two of them are birds and one of them is an animal. Together with his korbanos, he has to bring, together with his osham, which is always going to be an animal. There's no such thing as an osham from a bird. Together with his osham, he has to bring the stocking. And together with all of that, he also has to bring a lug of oil. We learned about it here and there in Zvachim. That lug of oil is going to be, first of all, the Kohen is going to take it and sprinkle from it seven times in the direction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then he's going to take some of it and put it on the Metzora's ear, thumb, and toe. And then he's going to put more of it on the Metzora's head. And the rest of it is Shirayim, which the Kohenim are allowed to eat. It's one of their 24 Matnas Torah. Now, before that, you also have the Osham. When they shech the Osham, as we learned in Zvachim, there are two Kohenim who do Kabbalah. One does Kabbalah in a basin, in a Mizrach, as usual, and sprinkles and dashes it on the Zeach. The other one does the Kabbalah in his hand, and then he dips his finger into it and puts it on the Metzora's ear, thumb, and toe. Now, So Rav Shesha says, then I have a braisa that talks about this matter of the Metzora's procedure of with his korbanos. So again, the idea is that it's supposed to be that the blood of the Osham is first applied to his various body parts, and then after that, the oil is applied. Now, a braisa says, if the matan shemen lamatan dam, what if he put the oil before the blood? Doesn't work. Yimalenu shemen, he has to refill the lug of oil, because now some of it is missing. And it has to be a complete lug. The yaksavit and shemen achamatan dam. And then he has to put the oil again from the refilled lug only after he put the blood, because it has to definitely be in that order, blood then oil. Symbolism behind it is Rabbi Yitzchak, his father talks about a point that these various body parts of the Metzora, ear, thumb, and toe, represent his Machshava Dibra Maisa, which he's gone wrong in different ways, and therefore we need the blood of the Osham to tell him where he went wrong, and the oil to infuse him with a new spirit of Chochma, And for that reason, also, we put the oil on his head, but not the blood, because the head represents the etzem on the shama, which never became corrupted in the first place. And therefore, with that, we're giving him the ability to be able to use his head and use his chokhmah to be able to affect the rest of his body, his machshava dibra maisa, and his thoughts, speech, and actions, and be able to be better in the future. Anyway, the point is that we have to have in that order, blood, then oil. So again, if he did the oil first, then he's going to have to do the oil afterwards. Similarly, the Braisa continues, Matan Bahonis Lamatan Sheva. What happens if he did the applications of oil to the Metzora's body parts? Bahonis means thumbs, and means the thumb and the big toe. The Gemara often uses it generically to mean the applications of blood to his body, because two out of the places where it's applied to are the Bohen, the thumb of the thumb, his right thumb and his right big toe. Anyway, so if he did that before Matan Sheva, before the seven sprinklings, same thing. Yimalenu shemen, he has to refill it with oil because again, there's something missing over here. The part that he put on Metzora's ear, thumb, and toe. So now he has to refill the thing with oil because it has to be a complete lug. The yaksavit and matan bahonis, acha matan zayin. Then he has to do it in the right order. First do the seven sprinklings, and only then do the applications to the bahonis, to the ear, thumb, and toe. Anyway, the point is that Rabbi Akiva Eger in Gilgamesh Hashas over here references a Tosfos a few blot further that talks about that there can be a case where it's missing and it's no good and you have to start over with a whole new log of oil, not just refill it. But Tosfos discusses that there are actually two different opinions on the subject. Anyway, but here we're following the opinion that he can refill it. But the point is, we're saying that a mitzvah, everything has to be done in order. Now, the i'amet in mechus is man lebreber yom. If you're telling us, Rav Adav Ava, that anything done on that same day is not considered mechus is man, and for that reason, we're saying even though the second omer hasn't been brought yet, we can consider as though it was, and that's enough to be matter the first omer. If you're going to say that, am I yachsaviyitin? And by the mitzvah over here, why do we need to redo the applications? My de'ovan oven. What he did was done already. We should say that he did the oil out of order. Fine, but the de'ovan, we should consider it as if he did it after the blood. So what's the problem? And the answer is Amar Papa, shiny hilchus mitzvah. It's different by the halachas and the mitzvah. Dichtibuhu havaya. Where there the Torah says that there the Torah uses an expression of being. The Pasuk says, this shall be the law of the Mitzvah, which means Tia Baba Yosef Hey. The word Tia means that it should be in its state as it's supposed to be, meaning in other words that everything that's described in the procedure in the procedures in the Mitzvah has to be done exactly as it says in the Pasuk and exactly in that order. So usually we would say in mechus is man lebreber yom, but by the Torah insists that if not be that way, it actually has to be in the order that it says in the psukim. So therefore no contradiction from there on Rav Adav Ava's point. The Gemara says Masir Rav Papa, but now Rav Papa himself points out a contradiction from another Braisa. As far as the Mitzvah, the order is supposed to be that first he brings his Osham and then he brings his Chatas. We talk about Mizvachim, we talk about the order of Korbanos. Generally speaking, a Chatas comes before an Osham, but this is an exception. So, hikdim chatosel la'ashamay, if he shechted the chatos of the mitzvah before the asham, lo ye'achem amaris v'dama, we shouldn't have, well, we'll say, okay, it was shechted b'dieved, let's have somebody stir the blood of the chatos to prevent it from congealing, and then we'll shech the asham and sprinkle the blood, and then continue where we left off with the chatos. We can't do that. Ella, to ubar tzerosa, rather, we have to leave the chatos that was shechted out of order, we have to leave it for its form to be changed. So in other words, we have to leave it until tomorrow, Rashi says, and then it will become possible with lina, and then at that point we can burn it. At that point also, Rashi points out, it won't have the moisture of fresh meat anymore. In general, when we say t'ubat sarasa, it means like that. It means we have to leave it over until it becomes possible and until it doesn't look like it did before. There are actually Rishonim who learn that t'ubat sarasa means it has to literally be left until it rocks. But from Rashi, it seems it doesn't have to rot, it just has to be. It doesn't look like fresh meat anymore. The point is, we've learned in Zvachin, and it comes up in various places in Shas, that there's a difference between what kind of psul happened to a korban. Certain psulim, we say that when you have a psul begufa, in the actual goof of the korban, then you can burn it right away. But when you have, very often you have a psul in something else, psul b'dava acha, as it is over here, for example, the chatas, nothing went wrong with the chatas itself. All that happened was that you shechted it out of order with the asham. Therefore, that's not psul begufa, so we cannot just take that chatas and burn it right away. We have to wait until to ubat sarasa, and then we'll take it out to the place of burning, as we learned in Zvachim, that there were a few different places where they had to burn posel or korbanos depending on the type of soul and when it happened and so forth. Anyway, the point is, we see that Yesh Mechus is Man LeBrei B'Yom, because you're telling me that the Chatas, even though you shechted it before the Asham, we're not going to say, because you shechted it before the Asham, but we're not going to say, okay, so what, fine, it's B'Yom B'Yom, on that same day, it would have been kosher, as soon as we shechted the Asham, and therefore, fine, we messed up, we shechted it out of order, but B'Dieved, let's fix up the situation by stirring the blood, we see you don't do that. So you see that there is Mechus is Man LeBrei B'Yom. So the Gemara says, "Am I for mostly Rav Papa?" Yeah, but why is Rav Papa even asking the question? Rav Papa had just answered the previous question and said that when it comes to a mitzvah, it's different because it says those tia teras mitzvah. So then Rav Papa knows that by the mitzvah, that the dinim of a mitzvah are different than anything else. So what's he asking the question? And the answer is El Rav Papa Hafi Kokasha. Fine, but Rav Papa's question is a different one. Fine, we can say with any of the avoidas of the Mitzvah, we can say they have to be exactly as described in the Pasuk and know nothing out of order or anything like that. But Shchita lav avoidahi, but as we know, Shchita is not considered an avoida. Now, why not? Rashi says because Shchita can be done by a Zohar. And if it can be done by a Zohar, then by definition, it's not an avoida. On the other hand, Tosfos says, no, that has the cause and the effect backwards, because later on in our parak, we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, it's the other way around. Precisely because it's not an avoida is why it's kosher b'zor. Whereas according to Rashi, that cause and effect is the other way around. You'd have to say, because according to Rashi, because it's an avoida, it's kosher b'zor. According to the Gemara, is going to say the other way around. Because it's kosher with a zor, therefore it's not an avoida. Rather Tosfos explains it. Fine, Tosfos says the fact is, since we never find a Kohen having to shech, even for example, the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, where the Kohen Gadol do all the avodah himself. Nevertheless, the Korbanos are kosher, so shechted by a Zor, and other examples like that, so therefore we truly see it's not an avodah. But then Tosfos gives a few other explanations. It can mean it's not an avoda because it's something that has to be done both by chulin and kodshin. Every other thing that we do with korbanos, kabbalah, halacha, zrika, is something that we do only with korbanos. But with shchita, we do the same kind of shchita with chulin as well. In fact, we're going to have masechta chulin is the next one after this one that talks all about the dinim of shchita. So therefore, we can say it's not an avoda, but it's something that's done in other circumstances as well. And Tosfos says another point is, we learned in Zvachim about you can have a case where a person is standing in the south half of the Azara and reaches into the north half and shechts, then it's shchita, it's kosher, but if the animal itself is in the south, then it's but the Kabbalah would be possible under such circumstances. So we see therefore that the shchita is not considered a service in the Beis Hamikdash. We even talked about conceivably a person could be standing outside the Azara and shechting. So all of that demonstrates that it's not an avoda. Okay, so the Papa's question is, shchita not being an avoda, maybe this rule of zos tia teres hamatzora shouldn't apply to him. And the en, so the only reason to pass it would be because mechus zman, the en mechus zman la brei b'yoyim. If you're telling me that there's no mechusas man on that same day, then yehayachem emaris b'doma. Then we should be able to have somebody stir the blood, the liquor of osham, and then we will offer the osham b'hadr liquor of chatas, and then we will offer the chatas. The fact that we don't do that seems to show that we don't say in mechusas man la b'yem. If it's not kosher right now, then no good. Well, then that explains why we have to set aside the chatas and eventually burn it, because right now it's not kosher, because it's not going to be kosher until after the Asham. But then that brings up the question, then we're back to the question, then why by the, in Mishlokish's case with the Omer, then again, how are we offering that first Omer when it's not yet mutter to eat? It's not mimashki Yisrael, because only when we offer the second one is that first one going to be mutter to eat. So rather, the Papa says, you know what? You want to know what Rish Lakish's reason is? There is Mechusas Man LeBrei. That explains why in the case of the Mitzvah, the Chatzos is possible. Okay, then how do we explain the Omer? Is because Hainu Taimed the Rish Lakish, you know why Rish Lakish holds that first Omer will be Mutter, because he says because he holds, really, as soon as it gets light in the morning, as soon as the sun rises, on the morning of the 16th of Nisan, Mater, then it's Mater, Chodesh, to be eaten even before the Omer has been brought. Later on, in August after, we're going to have a discussion here about that point of when exactly Chodesh becomes Mutter. We're going to have it later in the Masechta as well, because we're going to talk about the Rezat Tamkarna of Rabbi Yisrael Ben Zakkai after the Churban, that you can't eat Chodesh the entire 16th of Nisan, and for people in South Florida, also the whole 17th of Nisan for sake of the Yoma. And the question is, why not? Given one thing the Gemara brings up in that connection is this opinion that Hey Mizrach Matzer, that really as soon as it becomes light in the morning, it should be Mutter, but the Gemara explains there that Rabbi Yisrael Ben Zakkai had reason to make a Zera to Aseret the entire day. So he holds that really it becomes mutter in the morning. To be sure, now you do still have a mitzvah to wait until after the omer is brought. In fact, Tosfos points out there's an essay involved in doing that, but fine, at least there's no lois essay of not eating the chodesh anymore or holds your shlokish because as soon as it became light in the morning, then this korban, then all chodesh already became mutter to eat. Mefoshim bring up the question then that if we're going to say that heyu mizrach matir, then when we go back to Rab's opinion that we learned about yesterday, that the minchas omer would be possible if it was done shaloi l'shma, because its purpose is to be matir, and it didn't. Well, what's the problem? If we're saying heyu mizrach matir, then you don't need the omer for that anyway. And on the other hand, if he holds not like we're shlokish and the Yerchanan that we're going to say now, and he holds you have to actually bring the Omer in order to be matir chodesh, well then it's not minamut Yisrael, it's not mimash to Yisrael. So the Chidushim Amir Chosim Rashba explained that that's actually what Rav meant, that when he says bos lahatir, he doesn't mean it's just matir other chodesh, he meant it wasn't even matir itself. That's how the Chidushim Amir Chosim Maharashtra learn. There's also in the Shittim Kubetzes has a couple of points that he brings on this from various collections of Tosfos that at least it was Matu itself. It wasn't Matu other Chodosh according to that, but at least we can say maybe it was Matu itself. So therefore we can't say it's Osir on the grounds of Bashti Yisrael, but we can say that it wasn't Matu anything else. So there's that point. Another point is that you could still say maybe it would be kosher, just like we're saying that certain korbanos that are brought l'shma, it does count as a korban, but you have to bring another one. But nevertheless, we still eat the rest of it, and therefore we would have thought the same thing is true as far as the omer. And Rav has to tell us that not. In any case, the point is that Rish Lakish holds the very fact that it became light, that the sun rose on the morning of the 16th of Nisan, is enough to be Matir Chodesh. And therefore, at that point, you only have a mitzvah saseh to only eat Chodesh after the Omer, to bring the Korban Omer and eat Chodesh only after that. But we can still say, Mechus is Mam Laboy Bayon. And therefore, that explains the case of the Mitzvah. But that would explain how Rish Lakish is allowing us to bring that first Omer, because it really was already mutter from when the sun rose that morning. As we find, Dir Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, Dahami Chavayu. As in fact, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish both say, after the Bizman Shabbos Mitzvah Shkayim, even when the Bizman Mitzvah is standing, Hey, your Mizrach Matzer. As soon as it becomes light in the east in the morning, then Chodesh becomes mutter. Because the pasuk says that you can't eat chodesh ad etzem hayom hazeh. Now, etzem hayom hazeh, Rashi points out, means the brightness of the day. Rashi says, the Targum translates b'chran yom hadayin. B'chran means the appearance of the day. So as soon as day appears, so you have a mitzvah still to wait until the korban omer. But at that point, the lav of not eating chodesh until that point goes away, because it's already etzem hayom hazeh. You already see the appearance of that day. Now, the Gemara points out, you should know, this that the Shlokish is saying was not said explicitly, rather we infer it from something that he said. Now, what do we mean? Which statement of the Shlokish? Do we mean his original Shittim HaKabetzis brings up both possibilities? It can mean the original statement of the Shlokish at the top of the previous Amud, that if the Omer was brought Shalor the Shema, that it's kosher, but we still need to bring another Omer. Or it can mean the specific statement of Rish Lakish that we said just now, that he says that Hey Mizrach Matir, that as soon as it becomes light in the east in the morning, you're allowed to eat Chodesh. Either of those, we're saying Rish Lakish didn't say it explicitly. We deduced it from something else that he said. It's not. We learn later in our Masechta, in the sixth parak, we're going to talk all about the Korban Omer and the Mitzvah of Chodosh. And the Gemara and the Mishnah says there, Ein Mevi'in Minchas Bikorim, or Menachas U Bikorim, it's supposed to say, we're not allowed to bring Menachas and Bikorim, or Minchas Behema, or Menachas that come together with an animal, Minchas Nesachim, Kodim La'omer, before the Omer. You were in Mimashke Yisrael, because again, it has to be Mimashke Yisrael, and at that point, the flour that you're going to use for them is not edible because the Omer has not been brought yet, and Chodesh is still also. So you have to use, if you're going to bring Korbanos, if you're going to bring Bikurim are outright possible before Shavuos, actually, but as far as Menachos, if you need to bring a Mincha during that time, you're going to have to use last year's grain crop. Being heavy, and if you use the new crop possible before the Omer, that's going to be possible. On the other hand, you should not bring from new grain before the Shtei Lechem. You should not bring Menachos and Bikorim, Mishum De'ikru Bikorim, because they are called Bikorim, the Imhevi Kosher. However, if you brought from the new grain crop before Shavuos, then B'dieved, it's Kosher. In other words, the idea is you have like this. You have two Korbanos, you have two Menachos of the Tzibur that are meant to be Matur something. The Omer is Matur Chodosh, is Matur the new grain crop for the Hedyot, for regular people to eat. Then you have the Shtei Lechem, which are brought on Shavuos, and their job is to be Matur, the Chodosh, to be used, Lagavoya, to be used for Korbanos. But nevertheless, if you brought from Chodosh before the Omer, then it's outright possible, because not Mimashki Yisrael. But if you bring it before the Shtei Lechem, on Shavuos, you shouldn't have done that, but B'dieved it will be kosher, because at least it's kosher for Jews to eat, and therefore b'dieved, it's good enough for the Beis Mikdash as well. When we're saying that it would be possible to bring before the Omer, to bring from Chodosh, that would mean on the 15th or the 16th, that would mean on the 15th, on the 14th or 15th of Nisan, Av B'Shisha Aser, but if he brings from Chodosh on the 16th of Nisan, even before the Omer, in Hevi Kosher, if he brings a different Korban Mincha from the new grain crop from Chodosh, then it will be the Eved be Mutter, it will be Kosher. The Kashali, I have it from Mechusu's man. Now, the question is, why should that be? Why wouldn't it be considered Mechusu's man? Because, after all, the Omer has not been brought yet. Therefore, Al-Makasavar, Hey, Mizrach Matter. Therefore, you see that Rish Lakish holds that when, as soon as it became light in the morning, then it's Mutter, and therefore, now we're not going to say there's any problem. When you brought it before on the same day before the Omer was brought, not because in Mechusas Man Labayba Yom, because we said that in the end that's not the case, but rather because we're saying because as soon as it became Rish Lakish would hold, as soon as it became light in the morning, then the Korban Chodosh becomes Mutter, and therefore you're fine as far as using Chodosh for Menachos. Now, we said there's two possible ways of understanding what the Gemara is saying here about Rish Lakish. And again, there are going to be different Gersois over here. Are we saying that were we saying that it was Rish Lakish's original statement that the Omer is Mutter, that the Omer, if it was brought Shaloi Lishma, is nevertheless kosher? Then in that case, then it's not a matter of saying Dafka, of saying Hey or Mizrach Mater. Then we might have to say, then we could say, like we said before, that it might be because Ein Mechusas Man L'Boi B'Yoy. In that case, the words over here in the Gemara that he holds Hey or Mizrach Mater wouldn't necessarily belong. And Shitav Gubetzis points out that again, that'll fit with the question, what exactly is the Gemara saying that Rish Lakish didn't say explicitly, that he said implicitly, then that would depend whether we have the words in the Gemara over here that therefore necessarily he holds Hey or Mizrach Matir. If we're saying that itself was the point that he holds, and we have those words in the Gemara, that's what we're inferring from what he says. Whereas, where
Whereas if we say, we're saying that the whole concept that he said in the first place, that the Omer that was brought Shaloi Lishma is kosher b'diavad, then we don't necessarily need to say it shows that he holds Hey or Mizrach Matir. It could equally well be that he holds that Ein Mechus is Man L'Boi B'Yad. Okay. So there's a sicha, by the way, in Chelek Lamed Beis that ever talks about the deeper idea why it is that before the Omer you can't bring the korbanos and the apostle even to the Yeved. What we're saying is a shtei alechem, you shouldn't bring them l'chatchila, but the Yeved you brought them, then it's still kosher. So the idea is the Omer comes from barley flour. This represents refining the nefesh of Bahamas. So now, as opposed to wheat, is human food that's avoided within kedusha itself. So now you have to have You have to bring the shtei alechem because you have to have within kedusha itself. You have to have a sense of bittul, and therefore you bring them, and therefore actually you bring them together with sheep as a korban, where sheep are weak creatures, so they represent bittul. So therefore it means, in other words, your understanding of Torah has to be together with a sense of bittul. But now you brought chodosh before the shtei alechem. Then fine, you didn't accomplish that bittul yet, but at least you have something. But if you brought before the Omer is at least a skafia, as you have to make sure that gashmius doesn't drag you down. So now if you bring any chodesh before that, it's going to be outright posel. But when you come to shtei alechem, fine, you have at least reached a level of kedusha. You've started working on your nefesh bahamis. Therefore, now even though you brought the korban before the shtei alechem and what they represent, then nevertheless b'di'evad is kosher. In any case, so that's your Schlottish's opinion. So to summarize, we had started by saying on Daf Dalad that Rab had held that if Minchas HaOmer, that if the avodas of it were done Shalom Lishma, then it's outright possible. We slogged him up. Now we have your Schlottish's opinion saying it's not outright possible, but nevertheless, we're not Yosef, the mitzvah, bringing the Omer, and in order to be Matir Chodesh, we're going to have to bring another Omer. Now, the first one we'll still be able to bring, and not have to worry, either because, as we said, there's two possibilities. Either because Ein Mechus is Man L'Boi B'Yom, the fact that later today it will be Mutter to eat, means that even now we can bring it as a korban. Or we can understand it as the idea that Hey Mizrach Matir, that anyway you don't even really need the korban Omer to be Matir Chodesh, it really becomes Mutter, at least the lav goes away just by the sun rising on the 16th, and therefore that means the first one was good enough. As well, you still have to bring another one to be Yotze the Mitzvah of Omer, but nevertheless, the first one is not a problem of Mimashke Yisrael. Now, the Rava Omar, Rava has a third opinion on the subject. Minchas HaOmer should come to Shalom Lishma Ksheira. Actually, if he did the Minchas HaOmer, if he did the Kermit, if he did the Knitz of it, or any of the other Avodah, Shalom Lishma, says Rava, it'll be kosher. And the leftovers of it you don't even need another minchas ha'omer to be matir. Why, says Rava, she'ein machshava me'elas ela b'mishadoi la'avoida, a machshava that will pass on a korban will be effective only when you have somebody who is suitable to do the avoida, as opposed to any other psulim, over dover ha'roi la'avoida, and only with a thing which is roi for avoida. Namely, in other words, the most menachos are made out of wheat flour. Only the korban ha'omer and the minchas sota are made out of barley flour. So therefore, the flour that's used for the minchas ha'omer is not suitable for any other kind of avoda. Rashi points out it can't even be used for the minchas sota because the minchas ha'omer is made out of geres, which is a fine type of flour, as opposed to the minchas sota comes from kemach, which is a lower quality flour. That flour. Plus, it's not really an avoda because its purpose is only to check whether there's part of the process of checking whether the sota is innocent or not. The whole reason where we said that it's possible for Shalai Lishma is because it was called chatas. Or the different other, Gurion HaShas points out that actually there are other, that previously we learned on that Dala, we talk about other Jiroshas, how we know that the Minchas Sota is possible Shalom Lishma, whatever. The point is, in other words, so Rava is saying you have to have, in order for Machshava to passel, it has to be an object which otherwise could have been used for other Avodas. There was no other Avodas, the fine flour, the Geres of barley that's used for the Minchas Sota, there's no other Korban, no other Avodas. could have been brought for, it could have been used for. Therefore, says Rava, the whole concept of machshava passeling it does not passel it in the first place. And v'makom aroi la'avoda, and it has to be in a place which is suitable for the avoda, as the Gemara will explain in a second.
What's the reason why it has to be, the Nidchah Shomer has to be valid and not regular?
The Balabatish reason would be because that's the time of year when barley is harvested, but the deeper reason that's explained in many Meforshim and is talked all about all over the place in Chassidus is precisely because barley is animal flour, so it represents the first stage of our avodah, taming and subjugating the Nefesh of Bahamas. And when we left Mitzrayim, we were on that low level, so we start with that, and then we work our way up to the wheat of to the wheat and the Shtei Lechem of Shavuos.
Mm-hmm.
With the Sota, similarly, by the way, the Mishnah tells us in Sota, she acted like an animal. Either she was outright Mizano, or even if not, she put herself in a compromising position, and therefore her korban is made to be from animal food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyway, so the point is that Rava is saying, in order for Machshava to passel, it has to be that the person who has the Machshava himself is Roy Lavoida. So not if he's any of the psulim that we learned about in Zvachim, who cannot do the Avoida. And it has to be Dover Hadroi L'Avoida, something which could be used for a different type of Avoida, namely, for example, wheat flour, which can be used for all the other Menachas, not this fine grade of barley flour, which can be used only for the Minchas Omer. Tosfos points out another reason why we can call it Dover Shein Roy L'Avoida is because we were just saying on Amar Aleph that really, we just said now, you can't bring Chodesh before the Omer. So in other words, here we're saying, or before the Shtei Lechem, really, you're not supposed to. So here you have an exception. The Torah, it's the same Torah that's telling you, L'Chatzchila, do not bring Menachas from Chodesh before the Shtei Lechem, is telling you here, do bring a Mincha from Chodesh on the 16th of Nisan. So therefore, that's called a Dover, that's called something of not Roy L'Avoida, in the sense that with that sole exception, you're not bringing any other Chodesh for Kofor before Menachas. Uvamokam a Roy L'Avoida, and for Machshava to Pasol, says Rava, it has to be a place which is Roy L'Avoida, which the Gemara will explain in a second what that means. As opposed to a Korean who's a Balmum or any of the other psulim who has a thought which would passel the Korban, such as Pigul, or in this case Shalor Lishma, it won't matter because he's a Balmum and he can't do the Avoda anyway. Rashi in Zvachim, where we look at this as well, says because the Pasuk says, Hamakriv Oisai, Lo Yechoshiv, the one who brings the Korban, the one who offers the Korban, it will not be counted. So that implies, in other words, that he has to be somebody who's capable of bringing the Korban. Tosfos points out, I mean, the Korban is going to be possible anyhow, of course, precisely because a possible did the Kabbalah or Zikr or what have you, and that's enough to passel the Korban. But at least it means, in other words, that it won't be Pigul. Of course, it won't be Chayiv Koris for eating it. Which in that case, then, in that case, Chaim Ozer points out in his Trubus in Achiezer, and other Achronim discuss, that in that case, what we know, a Korban doesn't become Pigul unless, as we learned in Zvachim, Korva Matur, Kimitzvasam, only if everything was done correctly and the only problem was Pigul, well then, of course, if it's going to be possible over here, because a Balmum did Kabbalah or Zvikr or what have you, then of course it's not going to be Pigul anyway. And he brings from the Mishnah Melech that pigul applies in many cases. The chores for pigul is only, or malchus for pigul is only going to be if there was nothing else wrong with it. So now, in other words, the question is, what kind of malchus is he going to be getting? Is he going to be getting two malchus, one for that pigul and one for that apostle, or only one? So that's going to be the naftamina. And then another point, Shitim Kubetis makes another point anyway, if there was still blood available, then a kosher koyim can do Kabbalah and sprinkle it, and then in fact it will be, kosher. Rabbeinu Gershon brings in another explanation. We're talking about over here that the Koyan who was a Balmum shechted it. Now he's not passeling it by shechting it because of Shita Bazar, but nevertheless, the point is his Machshava will not passel it because he's not someone who's Rory Lavoida. So that would be another way of understanding Rava's statement. Anyway, so that's what it means. It has to be Misha Roy Lavoida. When he says an object which is usable for the Avoida means, again, as opposed to the Mincha Sa'omer, Rava is saying that a Machshava will not pass away, a Machshava Pigol or Shalom the Shema or anything like that, because it's not suitable for anything else. Again, you can't use this kind of flour for any other korban, or as Tosfos says, b'chlal, you can't use flour from chodesh for any other korban before the she'alechem. Chidushu, the whole point is, it's a chidush, especially because it's the only one that's brought from fine quality barley flour. So therefore, it's considered einu roi la'avoda, and therefore the rules of machshava will not apply to him. And the mokam roi la'avoda, when Rava says that it has to be a place which is mokam roi la'avoda, that means la'pukim nifkam ha'mizdeach, as opposed to if the mizdeach was damaged, and as we learned in Mizrachim, if the mizdeach is damaged, then you can't bring korbanos, and in fact any korbanos that are brought during that time are going to be possible. So now, suppose that he had a thought that would passel the mincha when the mizbeach was damaged like that. So now, if he does tigel or any other thought that would make the korban possel, then it doesn't, because so instead, rather, what we'll do is we'll fix the mizbeach and then we'll be able to offer that korban. So Rava is saying, so again, part of Rava's rule is that it has to be Dova Haroi Lavoida, and the Mincha Sa'omer, as we explained, for various reasons, is considered not Dova Haroi Lavoida. Therefore, Rava says, never mind Rav's statement that the Mincha Sa'omer Shalom the Shema will be possible, never mind the Shlokish that it will be kosher, but we need another Korban Omer. No, it won't become possible in the first place, because Machshava with the Korban Omer is incapable of passing it. Okay. And that's how the Rambam passed things like that. Okay. Next. So that's it. So if he does the Korban Omer with a thought, with any kind of thought that ordinarily would pass on a Korban, Pigol, or Chutz Mano, Chutz Mekoma, Shalom Lishma, anything like that, then it won't pass all the Omer.
And that's because?
Because we're saying it has to be Dabar HaRoi La'avoda, it has to be something that Pigol and all the other Machshavos will apply only to something which is Roi La'avoda, only to something that could be suitable and used for other Avodas, whereas here, this fine grade of barley flour that we use for the Mincha Sa'omer is not usable for any other korban. So there's two things. And also we're saying that it's only coming to be matir chodesh, and therefore it's not really considered roi la'avoda. And again, Tosfos says another point as well, the very fact that you're bringing it from chodesh, where it's before the she'alechem, and you weren't supposed to bring chodesh itself, is a chidush, and therefore it's not something roi la'avoda ordinarily. Okay. Let's talk about how we know that an animal that is trefa is possible for a korban. Trefa meaning the classical meaning of trefa, not in the colloquial sense that we use it to mean anything which is not kosher, but rather specifically an animal that has any of the 70 conditions that the Rambam lists that would make it also to eat. So Tan Rambam, we learn in a braisa, like this. The pasuk says, Now, you have like this. The Torah says that the Torah starts by introducing what kind of animals you can bring as korbanos. At the beginning of Parashas Vayikra, it says you can bring mina behema, mina boko, and mina soin. You can bring it from the cattle and the sheep. Then the next pasuk continues, mina boko. He brings an ola from the cattle, lamata, in the next pasuk. Now, she'en chamad loyma. Now, it shouldn't need to say mina boko, because it already said that boko, that cattle, is one type of animal that you can bring as a korban. Now, Rashi points out the previous pasuk, we had darshan, each of the phrases in that pasuk has min with it, from, and that's a mir. Min ha-behema means you cannot bring reveya v'nirba, an animal that was used for bestiality, active or passive. Min ha-boker tells us you can't bring an animal that was worshipped as avodah zarah. Min ha-tsoin means you can't bring muktza, an animal that was designated as a korban for avodah zarah. And now, why is it saying min ha-boker again? We shouldn't have need to say it. So it tells us to exclude a trefa, and say that you cannot bring a trefa animal as a mizbeach, as a korban. Now, you have to ask, why do you need that? Balo dinu. Shouldn't you be able to learn it by a Kal v'chomer? Uma bal mum shemoteres v'hedyet. Madacha bal mum, which is mutter for a regular person to eat. Asur l'gavoya, but it's also for Hashem as a korban. Trefa sh'asur l'hedyet. So then a trefa, which is also for a regular person to eat. Ein din sh'asur l'gavoya. Shouldn't it be a Kal v'chomer that's also as a korban? Why do we need the words minam boker to tell us that so obvious point? And the answer is that no. The answer is chelav adam yechichu. No, because you could prove the contrary from chelav and blood. Shasurim lahediyot. A hediyot is not allowed to eat blood. Is not allowed to eat chelav. Umutorim lagavaya. But they're mutter on the mizbeach. You sprinkle the blood and you burn the chelav on the mizbeach. So it goes to show that not always, just because something is also to a hediyot, should it be also to for a korban as well. But the Gemara says that's not, the Braisa says, that's not really a valid argument. Mala chedav adam, shekain boin, the klal heter. But you know what? The chedav and the blood were part of something which was on the whole mutter. Most of the animal is mutter. The chedav and the dam from it are also. So therefore you can say you're taking from an animal that was good to eat in the first place, and now you're taking parts of it that are not good to eat, and you're saying that those are going to offer on the mizbeach. Fine. But, how do you compare that to a trefa? The whole thing is osur, and therefore it's logical that it shouldn't be mutter as a korban, so why do we need a pasuk to tell us that? But you could answer back, continue the braisa, melika techiyak, you could argue, you could prove to the contrary by considering the melika that's done for a brood korban, shekola isur, because the whole thing is also, like we said before, usually melika basically, melika makes the brood nevela, and yet, and the asur lahedra, and the fact is a non-Koyan is not allowed to eat it. And yet it's mutter to bring in the korban. In the case of an ola sa'if, and in the case of a chata sa'if, we still sprinkle its blood on the mizbeach. Yeah. So we see that just because something is also the hadith doesn't necessarily mean it's also the gavaya. So maybe therefore we would need a pasuk to tell us that a trefa animal by the same thing is also as a korban, because we wouldn't have been able to deduce it from the fact that a person is not allowed to eat them. But you could slog that back up as well. Mala malika, shekin kedushasari sarja. The fact is, with malika, the very fact that it's the very action that's makadish it, the very action that's makadish it as a korban during the malika is what makes it nevela. Meaning, taking out the shas kedushasal mizbeach nesra lahedyet. Now this is a parenthetical note. And it is not found in Kisveyad and so forth. It seems that it was a marginal note that somebody wrote on the side of his Gemara, and then accidentally it got incorporated into the text. So anyway, the very moment when it becomes Kodesh for the Mizbeach, when you do the Malika, is the very moment when it becomes also to the Hedyot. Before that, it wasn't also to a Hedyot. Had a person taken and shechted it, then it would be a kosher bird. Okay, a Hedyot might not be able to eat it for other reasons, because it's a possible carbon, but at least he wouldn't be over on Nevela if he ate it. And the Tosfos explains it a little differently. The very fact that it has kedusha causes it to have different rules, and that you don't do shchita with it like you do for an ordinary bird. Anyway, so therefore, so you could say mashenkin betreifa shenkin shosar isarta, as opposed to with a treifa. The fact that it's kodesh has nothing to do with the isser. They're two completely different things. It's not kodesh because of the treifas. Why do we need a posik to tell us that a treifa is osir as a korban? Couldn't we have deduced that ourselves? So the im heshavda. Now you might try to slog up that kal v'chomer, and the braisa does not specify what you would slog it up with, which is what the Gemara is going to discuss now. Then you should know. The fact that the pasuk says minam boker in the next pasuk she'in tamad loyma, and we said that you didn't need to say minam boker, so it must mean mahotzias a treifa to exclude a treifa. So ultimately, we do need the pasuk, because otherwise we might have thought that a treifa would be kosher as a korban. So the Gemara says, Ma im heshavta, what would be the way to slog this up? On the face of it, we have a good point at this point. We have no reason to think that a trefa should be mutter as a korban. What is that hypothetical argument to the contrary that the Gemara could have, that the braisa could have brought, that it just said the im heshavta? So the Gemara says, Simen rakiach ma'ad al-shishle, this is a simen for the next couple of names of Tanoyim and Amoroyim who are going to address this point. Rakiach stands for Rav, and Rav Akiva, and Rav Acha. Mar Ada refers to you have Mar Bered Ravina and Rav Ada Ba'aba, and Lashisha refers to Rav Shisha Bered Ravidi, who's going to be at the top of the next Amud. The Sefer Lamnaseach LeDavid points out a symbolism in the Simen. He says Rakiach is Meloshin. He says Miyein Harekach. We ask Hashem, we should be able to give you spiced, delicious wine to drink, representing the Korbanos. So we're asking Hashem, please accept. Right now, we can't bring Korbanos because Mar, which means the master, Ada, he says, relates to an Aramaic word for through down. And Lashishe, the word Shayish means marble, as in the Beis Mikdash, which was built out of marble and is now destroyed. So in other words, the symbolism of this simon, says Rav David Pardo, is given that we can't bring Korbanos now because Mar Ada Lashishe, Hashem, the master, threw down his marble palace to Beis Mikdash, but nevertheless, Rakiah, accept what we're learning over here as if it was a beautifully spiced and delicious carbon. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Omer Rav, Mishum Be'ikla Meimar, the reason why we can't use a Tavachomer to say that a Trefer is also Mishum Be'ikla Meimar, because we could slog it up by saying Minchas Omer Teshiach. Look to the contrary at the Minchas Omer that we were just discussing. Shasur Lahedyet, where again, a Hedyet can't eat it because it's Chodosh, Umutir, Umutaras HaGavoya, and yet it's Mutir to bring as a carbon. So therefore you see that just because something is also the Hedyet doesn't mean it's also necessarily also for a carbon. So the Gemara says, though, Malam Minchas HaOmer Shekein Materes Chodesh. On the other hand, the Minchas HaOmer has a special quality. The fact that it's Matur Chodesh, that's Matur all the other grain which is Chodesh. So therefore, so you could say, in other words, so it's true. Up until this point, it itself is Osir, but it itself is making everything else Mutter, as opposed to by Terefe. You don't have that. Okay, the Gemara says, Bashlius. Fine, you could say, what about when the Minchas HaOmer is brought during Shemitah here? There's no chodesh for it to be matir because there was no crop planted that year. So therefore, so we see that even when it's not being matir anything, then we're still bringing it, even though it would be also lahedya. But the Gemara says shviyas nami shekein matir sifin the shviyas. The fact is, fine, you're not planting grain during shmita, but you still have sifin. You still have aftergrowth. You have seeds that dropped in the fields last year, and now this year they start growing. And you're allowed to eat them, but the fact is they're chodesh. You can't eat them until the 16th of Nisan. So therefore, so you see that even in Shvius, the Omer is being marked or something. And it says, Rabbi Akiva, Dama Svichim Asurim Shvius. Rabbi Akiva, though, holds that Svichim are actually Osir on Shmita, Minat Torah. Now, everybody agrees they're Osir, everybody agrees they are Osir, but the other Chacham hold that they're Osir, Dirabam. But Rabbi Akiva holds that Rabbi Akiva darshan's a pasuk that it says that the pasuk says by Shvius people say Hashem says you're going to ask Heimon Nizra by Nesef Tvorsenu, we're not going to plant, we're not going to harvest our produce, how are we going to eat? So the question is, why does that mention both planting and gathering? If you're not planting, you're obviously not gathering anything. So he says it means that, therefore, we learn that Sfichim are Osir. Now, it doesn't mean throughout the year. What it means is, Rashi explains, after the time of beer, there comes a point when there comes a point with each kind of crop, with each kind of produce, when there's nothing available of it anymore in the wild for animals to eat. At that point, you have to do beer. You have to take any of that type of produce that you have in your house, and either eat it or remove it from your house. The Rambam holds that if you can't eat it, you would have to destroy it. Most of the Rishonim hold that it's enough to just put it outside and declare it hefker, and then you can take it back. Anyway, so Rabbi Akiva holds that after beer, Svichim are also Minat Torah, whereas the other Chachamim hold that it's also only Dirabanim. Tosfos though asks on that, but actually no, that point about after beer, the Chachamim would agree. So no, we're talking about even, so Tosfos refers to comments of theirs the point is, Sakert, we're talking about Pesach time over here. Pesach time is when there is very much grain in the fields. When would be after the time of beer? Would be like Cheshvan the following year or thereabouts. So Tosfos refers to comments of theirs in Psochin, where the Gemara has a sugya over there about this matter of Shemitah, and Tosfos discusses over there about the ins and outs of Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Anyway, the point is, Rabbi Akiva is going to hold that there can come a time, Minat Torah, when the Omer is not being mapped or anything, and yet you're bringing it, so therefore the Brais So therefore, Rav says the Braisa is implying that that would have been a valid counter-argument to say that just because something is also the Hedya doesn't mean necessarily it's also the Gavara. However, Amalei Rav Acha Bar Abba Rav Ashi, Rav Akiva Nami, but even according to Rav Akiva, the Oimer doing Shmitah is Matu something, yet Lifrash, you could still slug up Malam Min Chasa Oimer, she came back to Chodesh Bechutz La'aretz, because after all, it's Matu Chodesh that grew in Chutz La'aretz. Now, even if it is true you have an opinion that Chodesh is not also Daraisa in Chutz La'aretz, fine, but you can still say she came Bala Hatu Lav Shadisocha. Fine, but the fact is that the Minchas Omer is Matu, the Lav for itself. Because again, you have you bring the koimet, you bring the koimet, and you still have at least that and you still have at least up until now, you would have been also to eat this flour itself. And now even Rabbi Akiva agrees that if a person was over, that if the Kohenim ate the Shirayim of the Minchas Omer, they're not over on Chodesh anymore. They're over maybe on Svichim, which he holds fine, but they're not over because that's where they got the grain from, is from Svichim. But nevertheless, according to him, they're not over on Chodesh anymore. So we see that it actually, so that says Matir in itself. So therefore, so that's not a reason to say about Tereka. This point about, by the way, about whether Chodesh is also in the Chutz La'aretz Daraisa eventually developed into a big machlokes aposkim. Part of the question is also, what about, even if we say that it's also in the Chutz La'aretz, is that even if it was grown by Goyim or only if it was grown by Jews? In particular, the Bach holds that if it's grown by Goyim in Chutz La'aretz, then Chodesh doesn't apply, and the fact that many Jews nowadays, including the general minhag of Lubavitch, is not to be careful about Chodesh, is based on that. So in Eretz Yisrael, there's no playing around. You have to keep the mitzvah, you have to keep the issue of Chodesh. But in Chutz La'aretz, Chassidim and many others rely on the Heter or the Bach. On the other hand, the fact is there are many who don't, and you see nowadays you'll find on many baked goods and then things like that, you'll see a note on them that they are Yoshan in order to avoid that issue. Anyway, so therefore you could still say, in other words, that even according to Rabbi Akiva, the Omer is always Matur something. So you see that it's always coming to be Matu something. So therefore, isn't that a reason as opposed to today for not? But Amalei Rav Acha Midifta L'Ravinei Hachi. If you're gonna argue like that, Tereka Nami Tatlev, then you should argue you should be able to bring a korban as a Tereka as a korban, the Tatlev Lav Shal Besorcha. And the same thing, the same way as you're saying you bring the Omer and that itself is Matir in itself, that now it's Chodesh but you can eat it, the same way we would say bring a Tereka as a korban. Ordinarily a Tereka would be Osir, but now the very fact that it's brought as a korban makes it Mutter to eat. So therefore, that's not a valid argument. Ela Porethachi, rather, Rav Acha Midifti says, here's how you have to ask. Malam Minchas Omer Shekhen Mitzvot Sibakas. With the Minchas Omer, the actual mitzvah, the definition of the mitzvah, is to bring Chodesh, is to bring from the new crop and bring it as a korban, as opposed to a trefa. Even if you're going to say that, you could bring, even if hypothetically you could bring a trefa as a korban, there's certainly no specific mitzvah to do that. You could equally bring something that's not a trefa. So the Braise is implying all of that with its words, the Imhe Shavda, where ultimately then we're saying that you can't prove from the Minchas Omer, because you can bring the Minchas Omer, therefore you could bring a Terefa, they're not comparable, therefore, even if you were going to argue that, the fact is the Torah tells us Lahotzias a Terefa. Okay. That's one explanation of what the Braise meant with its words in his Shavda. Rish Lakish gives a different explanation. Rish Lakish is the Kuf of Rakiach. We have the Simon Rakiach over there. The Reish is Rab. The Kuf is Rish Lakish. And then we're going to have others. So Rish Lakish Shama Mishum Deiflamem Mufatim Akteres Yichiach. Consider the case where a person compounds the Akteres. A person makes the recipe of the Akteres. Shaosu Lahedyet. A regular person is not allowed to. A person makes a duplicate of the Akteres for personal use. He's Chayav Kares. And it's Mutter to do for Hashem. So we see just because something is also for a Hedyet doesn't mean it's automatically also the Gavaya. It must be Mufatim Gavrahu. That's a matter of Gavra. What are you talking about? Hetzel the Gavaya. They were talking about what a person is allowed and not allowed to do. Here we're focusing on what kind of thing you can bring as a korban or not. Ela pitum akteres yichiach. Fine, don't speak about the person, speak about the action of blending the akteres. Sha'osu lahedyet, where hedyet is not allowed to, umutu l'gavaya, but you're allowed to blend the akteres for Hashem. We just said about the Shreifa, about the Minchas HaOmer, that that's the way the mitzvah is defined, is to do it. So it's exactly the same thing when it comes to here. The mitzvah is defined as make ketores for Hashem. That's not a valid argument. You wouldn't be able to prove from the Fatima Ktodas, and therefore back to logically we should say that even without a pasuk that Shreifa is possible as a korban, nevertheless the Braisa says it. You might argue that we could say, but the fact is the pasuk says Mina Boker and Lahotia Satari. Ma'abred Ravina. I'm a Ma'abred Ravina. Gives another explanation of the Im Heshavta of the Braisa. Mishum Ikalem Shabbos Tichia. Consider you could slug up. You could point out that just because something is also lahebiyah doesn't necessarily mean it's also lagabaya. Because Mishum Ikalem Shabbos Tichia. Because you can look at when it comes to Shabbos, Shasur lahebiyah doing melacha on Shabbos is also for a regular person umuteres lagabaya. But it's mutter for Hashem's purposes. You do the avodas and the mismikdash, which involve many different melachas. The Gemara says again, "Mal Shabbos Shkain Hotra Miklala Etzal Hediyot B'Mila." The fact is, we find there was an exception even when a Hediyot, when it comes to doing a Malacha on Shabbos, namely do Mila on Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Otra Mila Tzarech Hediyot." Fine, but that's not something that's done for the purpose of the Hediyot. Mila Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. So in that case, so we should be able to say that something which is also for a Hediyot is mutter for a mitzvah. But again, Shabbos is not merely a proof because that mitzvah is defined that way. The mitzvah is defined to do the tmidim and musafim and other avodas on Shabbos. As opposed to, again, there's no particular mitzvah to bring a treifa as a korban. Another one, the Gemara says, Rav Ada bar Abba Omar, Mishum de'iklamen, Kilayim yechichu. You could also try to prove from the matter of wearing Kilayim, Shatnas, Shasulim lahedi, it's a regular person is not allowed to wear Kilayim, Umutorim lagavaya. But a person is allowed to wear Shatnas for the Gavaya, because the belt of the Kohen Gadol, and according to many opinions, also of the Kohen Hediyot, is made of Kilayim, is made of wool and linen, and yet they wear it. So we see that you have something which is also the Hediyot, and still Mutu lagavaya, so you could argue that the same thing should apply to a trait. Again, the Gemara asks, "Otto tzitzis tzorich hediyot? Who? What are you putting on tzitzis? Because you yourself need the mitzvah. Again, it's a mitzvah. So what kind of proof is that? Where there's no mitzvah to bring a tzareifa? Ella, rather, you would say, "Malos kilayim shem tzvasim b'kach." Again, when it comes to kilayim for the big dekona, that is the way the mitzvah is defined. That you have to wear, or they have to wear these begodim that Hashem listed in Parshas Tetzaveh, and that includes kilayim. So therefore, you don't have a proof from that for a treifa, where there's no particular mitzvah to bring an animal as treifa, So we've gone through many different explanations so far of what the braisa means by the ine shavda. The Gemara is going to go on now. We'll continue tomorrow. We'll continue Masa Shabbos, Ves Hashem, and we'll talk about yet another answer from Rav Shisha Bredi Rav Idi of what the Braisa meant, the Imhe Shavda, or several other answers, how we would slug up that argument that a Tereza might be able to be brought as a korban and show that, in fact, logically it can't anyway, but we have a pasuk that tells us that that's the case. So we'll continue that on Masa Shabbos, Ves Hashem. Yeah.